Recording in progress.
Okay, Rosai. Okay, we're talking about the din of Kol Sheyeshba Mechamesha Minim Avarcha and Alav Birminim Mizonos, and we started looking at one exception, Andaf Lamatesim Nalaf of Lidbuke, and perhaps other principles we could learn from the Havmina of that Gemara. And we wanted to summarize what exactly is this rule of Kol Sheyeshba Mechamesha Minim Avarcha and Alav Birminim Mizonos. We know it applies to Chavetz Kedera / Daisa / Rihata, which Rashi says is the same as Chavetz Kedera, some sort of porridge with honey, etc. We know it doesn't apply to the Dibuke. That leaves really the rest of the world to figure out when it applies, when it doesn't. And here we have seemingly a big machlokes Rishonim. The Meiri here says, very fascinatingly, says the Meiri, Kol Tavchel Me'elu Hanizkarim Shem Medim Barim Medim Zonos Im Ira Vodvarim Achirim Kedum Devash V'Shemen V'Tavlin Af Al Pi Shehichnis Bo Mehen Harbe Ho V'Yesh Bo Mechamesh Taminim She'ekar Tavchel Kari Al Shem Oso Min Mechamesh Taminim. Even if most of it is other things, right? There seems to be an assumption among the Rishonim. It doesn't say this anywhere in Shas. But there seems to be an assumption among the Rishonim and Achronim that we would often follow Rove when it comes to a Taroves that's found a few places in the Shulchan Aruch, including one place which is on Makor Shin 14. Even if the Rove is not Mizonos, since the Mizonos is the Iker, and the tavshel is called by the chamesh aminim. I mean, the tavshel is called daisa. Might have a lot of things, but it's called daisa. The tavshel is called chavetz kedera. Okay, we're not familiar with the phrase chavetz kedera, but chavetz kedera is a phrase for a type of porridge. Since it's called that, then regardless of what the ingredients, says, it is still mechameshes. It is still borim minim zonos. So the Meiri seems to have a very restricted view of kol sheyesh. But it's not such a big chiddush. It is a very small chiddush. The small chiddush is that as long as it's really the ikker, as long as people call it the ikker, as long as ve'ene b'nei adam is the ikker, then we don't care about rov. We still follow the chameshes haminim. That is the Meiri. You have this, for example, I mean, this is not a great example, so it's kind of pass, but we know if anyone bakes cakes and other things like that, often the flour is a very small portion of the ingredients, but yeah, that's what it's called. Okay, that might be a little different. It's actually a type of bread, but in any case, who cares what's the rove? A cake's a cake, a porridge is a porridge, a pie is a pie, etc. That's what it is, that's what it's called.
I guess... Yossi can say I'm totally off base. Understanding of the Meiri is like the Meiri is saying that, like, let's say you took the flour out, you're like, I mean, you didn't say that, like, if the flour wasn't part of the recipe, it just wouldn't be the same thing. Like,
okay,
if you don't have flour in a cake, it's not a cake. Like,
okay,
so
but
it's thicker, even though it's not really, it's not really thick.
Okay, but I think he's saying something more restrictive than that, meaning probably even the things in Aflamin test, if you took out the flour, they would not really be good. But nonetheless, you know, licorice, if you took out the flour, it wouldn't be good, but it's called licorice. It's not called any word of the chamesh aminim. So I think he's more restrictive than that. What he's saying is that people naturally view the chamesh aminim as the ikar, and the halacha and the halacha recognize that. The Rosh comes close to that. I know in the few achronim, you know, contemporaries, and the Zosa Bracha and the footnotes of the Tosos Rosh, whose language is similar as it often is, assume the Rosh and the Iri go together. The Rosh says, Helka, kol she'ikaro mechamesh aminim afilu ruba minyan acher mevachon lo bori nemezonos, etc. As long as the ikar is chamesh aminim, even if the rov is something else, what do you mean, as long as the ikar is chamesh aminim? Meaning, we know already before Rav and Shmuel tell us how long the ikar is chamesh aminim, if intuitively the ikar is chamesh aminim, then we don't care what the rov is, as long as intuitively the ikar is chamesh aminim, then that is koveya.
How is the word, it's not pretty clear how the word ikar is defined.
Aha, great question. The Me'iri, it helps us a little because he defines the word Iker. He says what it's called. Yeah, that's...
Everybody uses the word Iker.
Everyone uses the word Iker. The Me'iri, good. The Me'iri talks about what it's called. In the Rush, it's a little hard to say. Since he doesn't define it, it's hard to say for sure we know what he means. Correct. Maybe we will... that is really the confusion of some of the notes of Caleb, and maybe he's in brackets here on that funny Shulchan Aruch and Simon Reish Dalitz a few days. Perhaps, what does the Iker mean is a great question.
Didn't we get to that by a Negron? Is that Iker?
Correct, and by a Negron there we had a machlokas where the Iker went by rove or went by your main intention, right?
Right.
Already, I mean, we'll come back to Iker and Tuffel. We'll try to figure out at some point what Iker means. Let's leave that for now. Let's see, again, Kol Sheyeshbo Vechuli says the Me'iri. He says only if it is, only if it's really Nikra Achar Chameshes Haminim, and maybe that's what the Rush is coming to say. Also, it's not so clear what the Rush is trying to say, but what's interesting is he doesn't say, you know, it becomes the Iker because that's a rule of Halacha. He seems to say, since it's the Iker, we say Bori Minei Mizonos. Maybe that is similar to the Rush. Maybe the Kavana of the Rush is that it is just naturally Iker. What would we say naturally Iker means? It clearly doesn't mean rove. That's what he's saying. Lachor means people's intention, the way people look at it. People look at it, and the Chamesh Aminim is the Iker, regardless of what they call it. That's how they think. You know, people look at it as a grain product. That would be Kol Sheyeshbo. As opposed to many other Rishonim, many of the Rishonim assume, no, you just need it to, and where do they get this from? As opposed to Lidbuke, right? As opposed to Lidbuke, which is only a sort of secondary use. However, most Rishonim assume, no. What's the as opposed to Lidbuke? As opposed to Lidbuke means that it is for taste and not for technical use. For example, the Rashba here, says the Rashba, he says, why was there a mandamer duvsha ikr, right? Remember in the beginning, Rabbi Huda said duvsha ikr, either because it's mostly dvash, or because the ikr is the dvash, and the solace is only lat'imo lachshiro, to like fix up the tam to make it taste good. So he has 2 days, what this chavitz kedera and daisa is. Is it mostly dvash? And that's sort of the havmina say, shahakol, or it's not a matter of the quantity, but a matter of the intention. People want it for the dvash. People mostly think of the dvash. When we come makom, came to soltum urbo, nonetheless, what do we paskin? Lachshiro, the solace is mixed in. Lachshiro, latimo lachshiro. The solace is there to give it a good taste. Mivarchen ala solace, kida segdamiha, derabu shmuel, and it's not like tafshil delifta, because there it's not lahachshir lemeiv bataima eladvuka the alma. He says the difference isn't whether it's the important, most important thing or not the most important thing. He takes the Murin Daf Lamed test and says the difference is whether it's for taste lahachshiro lahatimo lasbotam, whether it's for taste or for technical purposes. Now I admit that, you know, the drawing the line between taste and texture is often tricky, but let's assume we can somehow draw that line. If it's for taste, and that is the says the Rashba, lasays tam, right? Kol shehakemach, the kemach and ba lasays tam. As long as it's there for taste and not for something less than taste, that qualifies for kol sheyesh bo mechamesh aminim, meaning it doesn't have to be like the natural ikar main thing. It just has to be within the realm of like real food ingredients. It just has to be, you know, not insignificant. It doesn't have to be equal in terms of how much you like it or how big it is. It just has to be in the playing field, in the ballpark.
Doesn't he have to give a reason for that? Like,
he's not telling you the reason yet. Now he's telling you that I'm not up to the reason. I'm up to the Agdara. You have to give me time. Okay. Yes.
That's also a word that's not defined.
Right. What does lachshiro mean? To make it good. But clearly, when he says to make it good, he means in the realm of taste. After all, the Duke also. Yeah, so clearly he's, you know, he's sort of affiliating those two things, and quite a number of Rishonim mentioned the idea of ta'am. Significantly, the Rambam, when the Rambam discusses this din, he introduces the din. He says anything with chamesh taminim is mizonos. Sorry, give me a second to find it. Yeah. Kemach shel eish mechamesh aminim, etc. Kol tav shel she'ir bo mechamesh aminim is mezonos. Ba'medvar memurim, when that one of the chamesh aminim was choshev etzlov lo yatfeil, if it wasn't tafel. But if it was tafel, then there's a din of ikar and tafel. And that's a general klal in brachos. What is tafel? You talk about tafel, it's mixed and tafel. It's not mixed, tafel. It's not mixed is... You need a, he discusses a little later, you're eating something very salty and you need a piece of bread and so as not to be hurt by the salt. Tfeilim u'revis is he quotes the Gemara daf lama tes about l'dabukin. As opposed to, shekol davar shem arvus l'dabik, that's tfeilim u'litin reach for the smell. Okay, let's bo'as et hapsal for the texture, for the color or the smell, those are all tfeilim. Avalim ir k'di l'litin ta'am b'tarovus arisa ikar. But if it's for ta'am, that is the ikar. There's a big machlokes, the Magen Avraham, and many others. Read the Rambam is going back to Chamesh Aminim. He's certainly at least going back to Chamesh Aminim. Whatever's for Tom is Iker. So here the right. The Rambam says, yeah, Lidbuke is an example of something that is not look, that's not the Iker of the food. The Iker food is for the Tom. The Iker food is for the Tom. The smell is secondary, the consistency is secondary, the color is clearly secondary, that's all tafel, but if something is for tam, give me a second, then it is not batel, and you see similar phrases, give me a second, etan in some of the other Rishonim, for example, the Ritva, or the I never know how to call him. I don't think he's on the sheet of Miyuchas L'Ritva U'L'Sheet M'Kubetzas, maybe I should call him. But whoever exactly he is, which I admit I don't know, but I'll repeat maybe for the last time, because we chop by now, that whoever he is nothing in any way similar to L'Sheet M'Kubetzas, and, you know, someone similar and connected to the Ritva at the very least. You know, he's in the school of the Ritva, you know, the odds are he's someone who met the Ritva. The odds are he's someone who was not within, you know, 100 years or, you know, 500 miles of the Shittu Govetzes. And he's not a Kavit Shittos. But in any case, what he says is unlike the annoying people who put the wonderful people who put that, who just did one small amount of things, and they did lots of great things for us, I would call it Likud Rishonim to show they admit it's not Ravital Ashkenazi. Someone else was Malachi Rishonim without noticing that he doesn't actually Malachi any Rishonim, he just writes a Perish. Like once every two daf, he quotes a Rishon like everyone else. But, like not on the page I'm open to now. For example, in any case, what does he say? He says, yeah, the Dabuki is lav me'ikr tavshil. It's not part of the tavshil. Because it's not for kavanas achiloso klal of Dabuki alma. If it's not for kavanas achiloso at all, then that's the Dabuki the alma. But if it's me'ikr tavshil, it's part of the ikr tavshil, shvachavim kimchal achiloso, then that's different. and you count it. So again, he seems to exclude only something which is not for kavanas achila, as opposed to taste, which is for kavanas achila. So I guess we could add this to the Rambam. I think there are many others who would fit in with this. Let's see. A third sheet, of course, is...
Before on the Rambam, he seems to contradict himself. He starts with a totally subjective definition of chashev etzlo, and then he gives like culinary objective uses.
Aha. So, again, this very, very much depends on how you read the Rambam in terms of the Magen Avraham versus the Mechaber and Ramah. Let's stick with the Magen Avraham for now. The Magen Avraham assumes that this line of Vasari, Avalam Ir, Velitin Tam Tarovas, is referring to the Chamesh Taminim, like all the other examples he brings here. He only brings examples of Chamesh Taminim, even though he says the Klal Gadol and Brachos. But he only brings example Chamesh Taminim. So what he means then is, when it's Chashim Etzlo and not Tafel, and he really means, Etzlo means it depends on his intention, right? But Chashim and Tafel, he's going to objectively define. Chashim is if you put it in for Tam, Tafel is if you put it in for the other three things, Dibot, Reach, or Sefa. And the reason he says Etzlo is because it depends why you put it in. It doesn't depend what it accomplishes. It depends why you put it in. He doesn't say if it affects the Tom. He says if it's put in for Tom. So that's why he used the word Etzlo.
Aren't there certain flavors that are so overpowering that it doesn't really matter how much flour you put in? The Tom becomes whatever the other flavor is?
Okay, let's get back to that for a second. Let me get back to that in a minute. One second, yes?
I was just wondering, did the Rambam be different than the Rashba? He says that the Rashba says Lashir La'atimah, and the Rambam says only the Tam could the smell or the color those things be.
Okay, so here it's a matter of how you read the Rashba. The way I'm reading the Rashba, and I admit it's hard to prove these things, it's more of a sense, is that lachshiro latimo means lachshiro al yudei shematimo. It's not referring to two different tracks or options. It's one phrase. So, of course, could there be subtle differences? There could be, but I don't see them yet. Interesting, in the Zosa Bracha, he wants to make what I put on the board into three camps. He wants to say the Rambam, the difference between the Rambam, and he puts the ritual with the Rambam. The meal switch with Rambam. And the Rashba, the Rambam says it has to be an equal contributor to the final taste. Well, the Rashba says, even if it's something that just tweaks the existing taste of the other thing, lahashiro, lahatimo, he says, basically, is the standard that it has to give taste to the other ingredient or give taste to the mechlol, to the
totality.
That's a subtle difference. You can take it or leave it. You can look at there. I just point out the Avnei Nezer said for Tosos a completely different geder. Remember what the Avnei Nezer said for Tosos is for Tosos. No, it's not about taste at all. Taste, you don't do the Kol Sheyishbo. If it's for taste, it's the same as the beginning of Siman Reish Beis. The Rama says when you experience beer and wine, you go by the rove. It's the same as Siman Reish Chesh, Siv Zayin, where the Mechaber Paskins that if you mix rice and honey, you go by in a porridge, you go by the rove, etc. Nah, taste is a rove. The din kol sheyishbo specifically lisod is specifically if it's there for how do you say lisod?
He said safe to be satiated.
To satiation. If it's there for satiation, if it's there for main nutrition, and not for tam whatsoever. So Tosfos, and it seems to be a good, the Avnei Nezer, again, he seems to be correct in Tosfos, because if it was just this one Tosfos, Lamed Vav Amed Beis, which everyone quotes, you'd say, when you make this particular dish with kemach and shkedim, etc., it depends if it's levuke or lisod. I don't see Tosfos giving a programmatic statement here. He's discussing one particular dish with two particular common options in his days, how people made that dish. Why does he talk about lisod and lidbuke? Maybe just because those are the two kinds of this type of dish they had in his days, not because he's trying to give you a general rule. However, if you put this together with Tosfos Lamed Ches that we mentioned last time, then it really seems to prove that the Avnei Nezer is correct in the Das of Tosos, because Tosos talked about he talked about some sort of drink with Mechamish Aminim, and he said, since it's not Lisod, Kiyam Lishtos, therefore, it doesn't get mezonos because called Dorashish Mechamish Aminim, Eino Asad Lisod, Kiyam Lishtos, Kiyam Sheikh, Megotzim, Mohr Shahakol. Okay, you could have come to the same conclusion for other reasons if you so desired. You could have thought of many svaras to make, you have to see exactly what his example is, to make that kind of drink not mezonos, but Tosfos specifically says, because it's made for drinking, and so what? He could have even said, the special drinks and foods are different for brachos. That's not what he says, because it's not lisod kiyam lishtos, meaning the problem with being a drink is that a drink is by definition not lisod. You drink a drink for thirst, not for hunger. Okay, maybe they hadn't yet invented all these funny kind of quote-unquote drinks we have nowadays, but he means real drinks, not these protein drinks and this drinks and that drinks, which aren't really, even nowadays, we don't really call them drinks, although we drink them. But in any case, says Tosos, and I think the Avnei Nezer does have a good point, you know, he says, well, even though clearly it's for Tom, in this sheikhar, the beer, etc., the barley and all the other things are clearly for Tom, or the shatisa is clearly his example. You mix the roasted flour with vinegar or water or whatever, and you make some sort of drink. Clearly, I think clearly it's there for Tom. Nonetheless, this is not soed, so Tosas might say, rock and ba lisod es halev, right? Again, he doesn't mean heart health as opposed to the rest of your body. By leave, he meant your vitality to satiate you and give you strength. Interestingly, how do we paskin? So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Ches, says the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Ches Seif Beis. I think there's a typo on the Makoros, but it was Seif Beis. Chamesh Mini Dagon, etc., etc. We're going to have to talk a lot more about this Seif. Afilo Iriv Bon Dvash Harbe Yosem Amin Machirim, even if they're the small minority. Again, assuming that generally you go by the Rove. Nivar Chalein Bor Mini Mazonos, Ulvasof Ala Michya. But if it's only for the Dvukei, it's batel. Okay, here the Shulchan Aruch has not given away a lot here. He's basically said the Gemara, right? The Gemara Daf Lamed Tes, the Dvukei is different. But what is the Getter? Is the Dvukei different because it needs to be intuitively the main ingredient? Is the Dvukei different? And it's just that, you know, Chamesh Aminim are very often the main ingredient because they have such special nutritional and culinary properties. Or is it that it needs to be for taste? And then, you know, do you have a certain dar of taste? Or does it need to be lisod es halev? He's not 100% clear. He says the Mishnah Berurah, summarizing, I think, a mainstream of the Achronim, Hatam kevan zayin shubal lehatim lehachshir satav shel. Obviously, quoting, we don't even have to look at Shaar Tzion to find four-letter Rashba. That's the entire Shaar Tzion. He's quoting the Rashba lehatim lehachshir satav shel. Oh, it comes to give it a tam. V'hu bechemi shaminim tachashivi hu ha'ikar. Okay, it becomes the ikar when, as long as it is for Tom, he's with the Rashba. V'ayin l'kamen b'sif tes v'mishnah burusham l'inin ashir shiz chayil v'var chalamichya. Continue el adabka retonu lomar shalabal ha'atma ha'tavshil. V'lo lisod ha'liv. Now, in the Sifchad Nechaz, he adds something. If it's not for l'hatma ha'tavshil or lisod ha'liv, meaning there are two things which would qualify it as better than l'dvukei. As kol she yeshbo, either if it's come lahatam es tavshil or lisod es halev, etc. And he points out the lisod es halev part he gets from our Tosfos. And he said when the Taz wrote that if you put it for the sake of machal, for the sake of eating, that's equivalent to the sake of tam. Like there are two possible intentions that would make it kol she yeshbo, machal or tam. He says he didn't quote that Taz because that's just different. That's just a synonym for what Tosfos said in Lisod es halev. What does it mean for machal, for eating? It doesn't mean for putting in your mouth and chewing it and swallowing it. That is a fula which you do for every ingredient and everything. What he means is for satiation. So you'll have what to eat. And therefore, he says the Taz, you know, I don't know why the Taz chose to say it in different words than Tosfos. That's not necessarily Kasha. He says that's the same as Tosfos. He threw it in and he understood not that. That there is a, you know, that there are two different options here. You can define it by tam, or you can define it by lisod es halev. He lechorah the Mishnah understands that each one, the Rashba and Tosfos agree with each other. What's the point? The point is it's for something important and not for just lidbuke, and that fits the Rambam as well. The Rambam says, just color or debuk or reyach, that's unimportant. As opposed to taste, it is important. And what about satiation? You know, where does that go? Is not clear. The One second. So it could be the Rambam would also admit. We're not sure. Basically, what the Mishnah says is we paskin by putting together the Achronim that says the Mishnah Brura, and he says that actually works well in the Machaber. What does the Machaber say? If you put it in, it's Mizonos, but if it's Lidbuke, it's not. What does it sound like? Anything but Lidbuke is Mizonos. It's not a student of the Rambam. You could say there are other things that are as insignificant as Lidbuke. Point is, anything that is not insignificant, anything that out of the ballpark is. So here is the Mashmos of the Machaber and the Mishnah Brura, right? Ta'am O Si'ud. I don't know exactly, right? It means something different in modern Hebrew.
Modern Hebrew, it's
but,
a completely different word, yeah.
Not completely. It has to do with helping people live, but yeah. In a very different word.
Yeah.
Let's say, lis'od es halev. So modern Hebrew speakers will not, right? That means like nursing care in modern day Hebrew. Probably inspired by the Pasuk. Whatever they call nursing here, Sigurd in modern day Hebrew, inspired by the Pasuk. Hashem Yisadenu al Erstavai, right? When someone's sick, Hashem is sowing him. So that has to do with helping sick people. Give me a second. meaning anything at all significant that's not merely a technical thing like Lidbuke, and he see the there seems to be a clear hachra. The Meiri and the Rush do not get a lot of press in the Achronim. Zach?
It's not exactly clear because when the Mishnah quoted the Taz, I went and looked in the Taz, and the Taz, I don't think he I think he's colleague on the Rosh Hashanah. I think he has a problem with that.
Really?
He's the one who brings up the question that I said earlier, which is like, if you put in honey, anything, everything tastes like honey, right?
Okay, maybe we'll argue about it afterwards because I don't have the Taz here. I just want to point out one other thing the Mishnah Berurah says. Even though the Mishnah Berurah says soed counts, let's just throw in some other halacha lemaisa.
Tosfos doesn't have to agree with the Rashba.
Not just Tosfos doesn't have to agree with the Rashba. Okay. Shot in Tosfos that he doesn't agree with the Rashba. The Abdi Nezer says, but foolish Tosfos doesn't agree with the Rashba. And I think Tosfos Lamed Ches is Meduyak. I mean, again, if it was just Lamed Vav and Beis, you would say, maybe the Rashba, whatever. He's just taking an example. But on Lamed Ches and Aleph, it sounds pretty clear like he doesn't agree with the Rashba.
Rabbi Tosfos is closer to the
Meiri. That's. What's closer to what is, you know, somewhat a matter of semantics, but I agree. I just want to point out a few other details. Number one, the Mishnah Brura says later on that you still need to be able to taste the wheat or the grain. Meaning, it could be for purposes of time, it could be for purposes of machal, but you need to be able to taste it. If you can't taste it at all, the honey so much overpowers it that you can't taste it at all, then it's butl mavutl and you can't count it, regardless of what your intention is. And he is arguing on the Taz. The Taz says, even if you can't taste it at all, if it's for the sake of machal, he says, no, it still needs to be tasteable. Okay. Also, I'll point out in terms of one of the things we saw about gezayis bechdei filas pras, right? Do you need to have a gezayis of dagam bechdei filas pras? The Ritva, the real Ritva, the Hilchos Brachos and the Ra'as said you do. We paskim mefurish against them. The Shulchan Aruch says mefurish in Siman Reish Ches Seif Tes when he's talking about bracha achrona mainly. He says, but im ein gezayis bechdei achilas pras mechamish taminim. Etc. You can't have bracha achrona without kedayis beichilas pras. It's still boring nefash. It's still mizonos. His mucker for that. Basically, also goes to the avodah. I'm quoting Rabbeinu Yonah. It's not Rabbeinu Yonah on our sugya. I don't know if it's Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif someplace in the Sefer Brachos, or he had, or some other book that Rabbeinu Yonah that we have or that we don't have. I'm not sure. They just say Avudram quoting Vinyona. Lamaisa, that's how we paskin. Let's just give one application, for example. Let's go to the famous controversy of schnitzel. You know, I've asked around the world, almost everyone says shahakol and schnitzel, and almost all svarim and poskim say shahakol and schnitzel, so that works out well. The question is, what should be the bracha on schnitzel? So schnitzel is very tricky because a lot of this depends on your intention, and while you'd think it would be the simplest thing in the world to figure out someone's intention, it's actually sometimes very tricky to figure out why people do things, meaning people don't always do things because they get up in the morning and thought logically from first principles of everything they might do today and why that would be a logical thing to do. People do things because that's what we do, and then they have to stop and figure out and figure out why they do things. maybe there are such Bali Musar out there who, you know, don't lift a finger before, having a very clear reason why they do everything they do, but that's not normal or common. But in any case, what's pshat with the bracha on schnitzel? So I threw out a bunch of poskim. I pointed out that if you look at any modern day sefer, you know, they're all sort of basically equivalent. I just picked this Dirsha, which is a very useful mishnah they put out nowadays, we're probably familiar with. And he quotes a gazillion people, a gazillion poskim, who say shahakla schnitzel, etc. And almost no one who says mazonos on schnitzel explicitly. He quotes there are in Tzedakah v'Kodesh, for better or for worse, Rel Yashiv, there are, you know, every single person who quotes and quotes me saying something different, which is. We know that's how it works usually, for some reason, which I'm not exactly sure. I'm not exactly sure why. So he quotes, everyone quotes him as saying something different. I guess what he likes is those who quote him saying shahakol. And then he quotes from Moshe Feinstein, that Moshe Feinstein was quoted. There's two different sources of this. In Greg Bodner's book, he said you've heard this from one of the Talmidim. I'm not sure if I remember who. And here he says it's written down in one of the Talmidim. It says it depends if it's a thick coating or a thin coating. But in general, there's no posek really on record as saying spam it mazonos. Everyone seems to endorse this minhag to say shahakol and schnitzel. The question is, why do we say shahakol and schnitzel? After all, now there are different kinds of schnitzel, perhaps. You know, I don't know what people call schnitzel. Sometimes, you know, you just have a little like flour on the, you know, on a grilled chicken, etc., and it's really not substantial at all, and it's very technical. It's to keep it from sticking, or etc. That's not the interesting case. To keep it from sticking to the pan. Right? Anyone who's cooking those flours always good for keeping everything sticking, whether it's to the pan or to anything else, right? That's what chefs or even Trindler, Balabata, use flour for all the time. But we're talking about the real schnitzel, where there's like a layer of breading on the, there's a real crust on the schnitzel, and it seems to most of us that the reason why there's that crust on the chicken is because it's delicious to have the mixture of the ta'am of the chicken and the breading, and it tastes better than just chicken or just breading. So what's the bracha on schnitzel? So here we have, I just gave you a little, you know, if you looked at the Dershu, he quotes a million people, and they also have variations of the, you know, two pithy psakim that I put here in the Shut or Litzion, where Litzion Abishol says, in Ma'ariv Zalechim Rehurim Kedil Dabik Zabasar, if it's just for debuk, he's talking about hamburgers, right? People, most hamburger recipes, I think, include a certain amount of, you know, flour / matzah meal, etc. for classic debuk, just because so it won't fall apart, because I've learned this the hard way, that if you just put pure, it depends what you're doing, there are all kinds of techniques, but if you're just a balabas like me, and not a balabas, not a aretz like me, really, who just takes a bunch of meat, you know, you go to the supermarket and you say, 100% pure meat hamburger, and you buy it and put it on your grill, it will fall apart. He says that's the bouquet, but what about schnitzel? Okay, shall you dobek a schnitzel amach shazdigen, if it's so that it doesn't stick to the, maybe the reason you put the breading on the schnitzel is so it doesn't stick to the pan. Now, you know, I feel like this is coming from a long time ago. I must admit, meaning longer ago than the Ur Litzion lived. I've seen people in my own home fry schnitzel and make stam grilled chicken, which is, you know, that same kind of chicken as schnitzel, and the grilled chicken never sticks to the pan. Why? Because we have non-stick pans, and we have the, you know, we have the oil spray, we have this and that, meaning we have ways to get it not to stick to the pan. I believe that once upon a time, maybe they invent, you know, someone thought of breading it so it won't stick to the pan. But it's hard for me to imagine that's the reason anymore. Then he says, Baruch Lam Shakol Niyah Bidvaro. Avol Nosik Lispoa. But if the reason you bread the chicken is to fill yourself up, after he said Tamalat, or just for the taste, then Baruch Lam Barmei Mazonos says, see, it depends on your Kavanah. If your Kavanah is something technical, meaning he basically applies the Mishnah Berurah. I don't know if he was working off the Mishnah Berurah. I don't know if all the Sfaradi poskim read Mishnah Berurah. But the same idea, okay, he was working off the same achrona the Mishnah Berurah was working off. He said, look, if it's Lisboa or Lasseis Tam, then it is Mazonos. If it's just technical, whether it's Lidbuke and the hamburgers or not the stick, then it is Shahakol. Someone, who's the one who asked ChatGPT? Who was that?
Not here today.
Okay. Someone asked ChatGPT, why do they bread schnitzel? Why do they put the coating on schnitzel? Now, just to be fair, ChatGPT is a successful implementation of its Tafkid. It was supposed to, right, what is it? It's a large language model. It was supposed to answer questions like a human being would, and it astounded everyone by how much it succeeded in doing that. But keep in mind, as the Medrash tells us about the various malachim arguing before the sixth day of Bereshis, that human beings lie all the time. So it successfully lies all the time. Sometimes it's very egregious. There have been famous stories about that in the news. We're probably thinking of now. Sometimes it's it's more of a white lie. So that doesn't mean whatever ChatGPT says is true. But on the other hand, it does mean that, you know, maybe a lot of people might think it's true, or at least it's misnomer to people. They didn't copy-paste it to me. They asked ChatGPT why we make schnitzel, and it gave like seven reasons, none of which were for taste or for sviya. You know, so that it doesn't stick to the pan, so that the schnitzel doesn't dry out and shrivel up, right? Because it keeps the moisture, it traps the moisture inside. Okay, that's definitely true, right? Grilled chicken versus schnitzel, the meat is more moist inside because the moisture gets trapped. It doesn't come out like when you usually fry things. I forget what all the other answers were. Do you remember?
I had to put it in. It said to add flavor, but from the spices. So exactly.
Ah, good. To stick the spices on to add flavor, which clearly that's the bouquet. Yeah, so if you put spiced breadcrumbs, maybe that's the main flavor you want. Yeah, but you want the flavor of the spice, the top of the spices, not the top of the bread. It just said stick the spices. Good, that's the bouquet. What else? That was it? Okay, that's good enough. What? Well, it doesn't really change the texture of what's inside it. Right? Maybe to add a crunch, you know, what does crunch mean? Is crunch a taste? Is crunch a texture? Very borderline. Maybe crunch is more of a texture than a taste. It's not like bouquet, but it's not a classic kind of taste. You know, I like the feeling of a crunch. Maybe it depends. Some of them are more crunchy, some of them are not. I don't know. I'm not a bucky in food. I'm And I'm Haaretz Gomer in consuming food, and I'm not even on that Madriga. I'm a boor, not even on Haaretz when it comes to producing it. But nonetheless, so it could be that basically one shot is that, yeah, we make shahakol and schnitzel because it's not there for taste. It's only there for technical reasons. And that's what he quotes from other people here. He says that... he quotes from the ChatGPT is mechavet many people. He quotes from one quote from Shlomo Zalman that, well, the main purpose is that it doesn't dry out. excuse me. But there's another option. So one option is that the reason shahakal is because we don't do it for taste. And that is somewhat questionable because, I don't know, I like the taste of schnitzel. It's a good taste to have the combination of those two things. And, you know, I could easily imagine there might be other ways to, or might not be other ways to accomplish this goal. You know, what's the intention? It's really hard to tell what the intention is. Because, like, it's a nice taste, but is that why people do it? It's very hard to know. But if I had to pick, I might go so far as to say, no, the intention is really for taste, as well as these other things.
You mean every time you eat it, you're going to have another cheshbon and nefesh with bracha to make that?
You never need a cheshbon and nefesh. Just have it a sandwich and you're fine.
So it sounds like it's probably end up being it's both motivations, but now you're saying which is the primary.
So now it's what if it's both motivations, you know. Is it the pride? Do you go by the primary motivation? You say if there's any motivation for taste, maybe that's part of this machlokes. The Shevet HaLevi takes a very different approach. Says the Shevet HaLevi, the Didi Pashit Yivarch Lo Mizonos. I've heard Rav Ashra nowadays say the same thing. Rav Ashra Weiss nowadays say the same thing. Rav Shahakol. Says, come on, it's just a coating. Everyone knows the ikker is the schnitzel and not the coating. And therefore, you don't have to get into these things. We all know that it is not an important... Sorry, not that it's not important. It's not a primary ingredient. It's a tzipoy. It's just a coating. It's not the real thing. It's not schnitzel. And something similar is, you know, they quote something, a line from the Chazon Ish here, not about schnitzel, but about gefilte fish. It says, oh, what about the fact that you put matzah meal in gefilte fish? So really, you could have said, let's the bouquet. I assume that's why they put it in. The Chazon Ish says, because it's fish. We all know it's fish. And if it's fish, it's fish. You don't have to ask more questions. And I think that's similar to what the Shevet HaLevi is trying to say. And he quotes that, or Shevet HaLevi elsewhere explained himself more. He says, because if it's really tafel, then there's no question of kol sheyesh bo hizo minim. Kol sheyesh bo hizo minim is... We're not sure how to look at it. We look at it as the ikker. But if it's clear that it's a tafel, even if it's for tam, it makes no difference. So basically what I'm claiming is... give me a second. What I'm claiming is that it could very well be that schnitzel is a nafgamina between these two basic approaches. Right? According to this approach, you would say, like the Shevet HaLevi, Ve'od... You would say, come on, we all know, and even if the rush, maybe the rush doesn't mean you have to, like, know it's ikker before you start. And you could easily look at the ikker. You know, you could just easily look at the ikker as anything else. You know, if you really require that it be, you know, if you really require that it really be a grain product, then we all know schnitzel is a chicken. We all know schnitzel. We all know that you eat schnitzel for the chicken. Just a you know, again, there might be exceptions to this. I think the mainstream is that you would grill your chicken or fry your chicken sometimes with the breading, sometimes without the breading. You're never going to make the breading without the chicken. It's clear, or that goes back to the or Sameach as well. You're not going to make it rove. If you have more chicken and less breading, gewaldig. You know, to make it mostly breading and a little chicken, you know, I don't know if it would ruin it in terms of, you know, make it, like, not good to eat, but it would be inappropriate, it would be improper, it would not be a good food anymore. Clearly, we have some, if you really need it to be an intuitive ikker, then clearly it's not the ikker here. I mean, kol sheyesh bo is when you have two ingredients that are jockeying on sort of, you know, equal footing, and you're not sure what's more chashuv, what isn't. Then the Meiri says, well, if you call it, then maybe the Rosh would say, even if you don't call it, if you really, you know, we see that it plays an important role. But what would you say? You would say that if intuitively the chicken is the ikker, then it's not mazonos. Then it's not mazonos, because intuitively we know the chicken is the ikker. How we could start make up 100 rules? You know, how about cookies and cream ice cream? So I saw Rav Asher White says cookies and cream ice cream is shakal. He says, of course it's not mazonos. We all know it's ice cream. They add in some cookies. Now, why do they add in some cookies? Not for the texture. You know, they add in some cookies l'chora for the taste. Because you like that taste. You know, just so it'll be crunchy. L'chora they add in cookies. But it doesn't matter. We all know that it's ice cream.
But they used to have the ice cream sandwich.
Ice cream sandwich is a little trickier. That's an ice cream sandwich. Maybe that's a little trickier. But we all know that it is a... you know, we all know that it is a that is okay. I'm not saying what Shevet Alevi would say. I don't know if the Shevet Alevi ever ate cookies and cream ice. I don't know if Russian ice either ate it, but you know he's seen people eat it. As opposed to if you really took this approach that has basically anything that's not purely technical, anything that really contributes to the taste, then maybe you'd say like the Orlitz Zion and others that if it's for taste, then mazonos. If it's for, non-stick or prevent drying out, then it would not be mazonos. Okay, if it was not be mazonos, obviously the candidate here is shahakol. And I think that many people nowadays really make schnitzel for the taste. No one does it so it won't stick. We have lots of ways to make it not stick. And I don't think, when my wife makes schnitzel, I don't think she makes schnitzel because she's interested in grilled chicken or frying. She wants to fry up some chicken, but she doesn't want it to dry out. She makes schnitzel. She makes schnitzel, we should point out. She makes schnitzel because that's a delicious combination of taste. In which case, give me a second, it's still a little unclear if the Shulchan Aruch sounds very unlike the Meir in the Rush, and the Mishnah Berurah is very clearly unlike the Meir in the Rush, and so many other Rishonim, Achronim, are unlike the Meir in the Rush, then it's a little unclear. You know, when we say coating, it doesn't mean coating so that you can hold it more easily. It means coating because we like the inside taste one way, the outside taste another way. That's what that's what a coating means. Again, I don't mean they coat the pill so it'll slide down your down your throat, or I don't know, they coat it so it won't melt or something. No, it's a coating because you like to combine inside and outside taste. It's a combined taste. So then it becomes a little tricky. Give me a second. Why the Minhag Olim makes shahakol on schnitzel? And I want to point out one thing, but I see everyone is about to stone me.
If you go to a inexpensive fast food called the Gashkofas, to save money, the chicken is very thin with a thick coating on it.
So at a certain point, definitely yeshkvol. And here's also, Ramos says, depends on the thick or thin coating. No one knew exactly what he means. It is interesting that sometimes they'll make the coating very thick. Why? It's maybe even a little dishonest to fill you up on the breading, so that, you know, they can produce it cheaper or fill you up more. And she might do that for like less money and feed more tummy than where the restaurant wants to spend less money and, you know, get more people to pay for meals, etc. How about stretching things out? Right? Or people do that with hamburgers also. They don't just put in okay. They say, what's the maximum flour and soy I can put in this hamburger so that it'll fool people, but it'll be cheaper? So then that gets, if it's soy, we don't care. But if it's chamishaminim, at a certain point that gets very tricky. I've seen some poskim say that if you're just trying to stretch out and fill more people with less fish or meat, etc., then that's like litbuke, etc. It's very hard for me to believe that. The simple shot is, no, that's called machal. That's called for sfiyah. I'm trying to fill people up, meaning, I admit, when we do the breading of the schnitzel, I don't think anyone's trying to fill anyone up. But if you're just trying to fill people up, are you trying to fool them? Are you just trying to fool them with an optical illusion, which is a technical word, or are you trying to fill them up? So that they will be satiated. Just you'd rather satiate them with grain than with meat, because meat is too expensive. It would seem to me that at a certain point that becomes lamachol or lisboa. But it's tricky. What's intention? What's the guy thinking? The guy's thinking he wants to fill you up, or the guy's thinking he wants to make it look good to sell it? How it looks is more likely bouquet. But pashas, the thing to fill you up, certainly if yeshiva, gets, 90% flour and 10%, meat in the hamburgers, so that they can, the talmidim will all have full stomachs and they'll save money. L'chore, that's l'spa.
What about corn schnitzel?
Corn schnitzel is a great question. What about corn schnitzel? Meaning, what about a piece of schnitzel when the inside is, not really so chashuv and ikker? Meaning, you're not going to eat a sort of corn patty, as opposed to the schnitzel, where you would eat the chicken with or without the breading, but you're not going to just make the breading. You're not going to eat the corn patty without schnitzel, l'chora, or the without the breading, or the vegetarian schnitzel, or whatever. You're not going to eat some combination of tofu and random chemicals, mushed up and then baked, without the breading. So that becomes much becomes much trickier. Meaning, what really is there such a clear hierarchy there? If you're saying, well, it's just breading is clearly secondary, then breading is clearly secondary. If you say it's because everyone knows it's called, I don't know what that's called. It's called corn schnitzel, vegetarian schnitzel. But why do they call it schnitzel? For the breading? Interesting. He talks about this here. And if we, let's just go for a second. And then I want to get back to this. I thought he talked about it here.
Can I ask one other in the middle, too?
Yeah, but I won't listen, Joe. Please.
Yeah, what about Kuba?
What?
Kuba. Or a sparding.
There's meat within the fried dough.
Yeah, that's more obviously regular schnitzel.
Serve at these weddings.
These standard round circles that are fried dough inside.
Like dumplings?
Yes.
No,
it's like a
falafel. No, those aren't.
It's a spicy.
Yes. Now I know it. Now.
The core is still more like schnitzel. There's meat inside. So
no, but
as long as there's very corn schnitzel, where
there's only a little bit of meat. There, it's not necessarily it's not like a burrata.
I would go with a mazonis on there, but you see how tricky it is. You see how amazingly tricky it is. What does he say here? Give me a second. He says that. Give me a second. Aha. So he is masufik about this. He says, what about schnitzel yirakot? Maybe that is different than schnitzel of meat. What's the minhag olam? There's an old minhag olam, I think, for schnitzel of chicken, because that's been around since, I don't know how many hundred years. Meaning, if you go back to where ancestors lived, if you go back to where ancestors lived in Galicia, I think they still eat schnitzel every day, the guy in there. Meaning it's just a traditional food.
Or the minhag olam is to, make siyum and have meat.
Right, I don't know. In the Sound of Music. Who's old enough to remember that, right? These are a few of my favorite things. Schnitzel. Right? So schnitzel goes way back.
That was real schnitzel.
These new schnitzels, I don't know if there's such a minhag olam on these new kind of schnitzels. and the inside is what?
Soya.
I know, it's bad. It's vegetarian schnitzel. There's corn schnitzel. That's vegetarian schnitzel. There's also corn schnitzel. There's also vegetable schnitzel. There's everything schnitzel. There's everything schnitzel by now. That I have no idea. That I have no idea, but if it does, it's probably the Dabek. If there is, it's probably the Dabek. I don't know. He's very misopic here. Let's leave that as Sirkian for now.
I'm just curious, when we say Bouquet versus taste, let's say the person making it is doing it for the texture, but now the person who's eating it wants the taste, and that's what they're eating for.
What is the difference in kavanah between the person who made it and the person who consumes it? That is a great question. It would seem to me that it would depend on the consumer, not on the producer. That's what it seemed to me. Okay, let's just, for one second, point out where Willie actually didn't write this siman, his brother, who's an NDRS alumni here. You know Rav Willie?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is his siman in the Amor Chaim Brachos. He discussed this, and he asked, but it's good time, so why don't we say, mizonos? And he came out with a fascinating chiddush. He says it could be that the rule of kol sheyeshbo only applies to something like chavetz kedera and daisa, and maybe you have the tafshel, the silka, or the lifta, which in the end of the book it was not, where it's all mushed in to be one tafshel. It's all mushed in to be one thing. Over here, there are two separate layers. There are two separate parts of it. Now, some will say that apparently they checked in Yeshiva and Hakotel with the chef, and he said, no, the tam of the breadcrumbs also goes inside to the chicken. Okay, I don't know, I'm not convinced. And I'm not sure how much of a difference that makes, because it's still not mixing two things in. Maybe kol sheyeshbo was only, this is a big chiddush, kol sheyeshbo has nothing to do with ice cream sandwiches and nothing to do with pies. Meaning, there might be a din of Ikar HaTofel, there might not be a din of Ikar HaTofel. Maybe kol sheyeshbo only maybe the kol sheyeshbo only applies when they're mushed into one thing, like porridges and all the other things we discussed here. But if they're two separate layers, then there's no din of kol sheyeshbo. When there's two separate layers, you just go by intuitively what is Ikar and excuse me, and what is Tafel? Now, that's a fascinating chiddush, but that would be a way to explain that even given what all of the achronim say here, that im asa mimenu vibishlo bikdeira, that was talking about bishlo bikdeira, if you mix things together like all the case in the Gemara, it's not talking about separate layers of things, and maybe that could be another hezber why a schnitzel bishahakol, and that is what he suggests, Ray Willing, although it's the other one, the Sefer Mordechai suggests, is, let's just give the Mordechai, says the Mordechai, he says, but maybe, or not just maybe, he wants to claim out, true, like what I want to say, what I mean to say is this, that even if you take the more expansive, ambitious scope of kol sheyeshbo, says the Sefer Mordechai, a fascinating chiddush, that that's true for, how do you say when you make it all into one thing, cooking the kedera, etc., for a mixture. But there's no kol sheyeshbo for separate pieces or layers. Maybe when it comes to separate pieces or layers, then there's no din of kol sheyeshbo. That's not what kol sheyeshbo is talking about. Kol sheyeshbo mechamisha minim. Interesting. Kol sheyeshbo mechamisha minim. Any dish that you cook and it has within a chamisha minim becomes one dish. Then the chamisha minim is ikar. When you have, as the Rambam talking about, tefila me'orevis and eina me'orevis. When you have me'orevis, there's din of kol sheyeshbo chamisha minim. When you have eina me'orevis, then you don't talk about the ta'am, etc. They're two separate things. And they're two separate things, then you use other
rules to determine what's tava, what's ikkar, and over here, whatever rule we use, clearly the chicken is going to be the ikkar, and the breading is going to be the tafel, and that's how he explains why we don't say mizonos on schnitzel. In the end, there are sort of many stadim where you could say why you would justify the minute only say shahakal and schnitzel. Number one, maybe we really agree with the Derek and the Meiri and the Rush and say, no, it's not a magic rule of chashivos that whenever there is chamesh shaminim, it's ikar. No, it's only when the chamesh shaminim is really, it is an ikar because such a chashiv ingredient, because it's so nutritious, because it really does, you know, when you put a flour in things and bake them, or, you know, they often become things that represent the flour content, but where there's a clear, where it's clear what's ikar and tafel, there's no kol sheishbo is when you're not sure it's ikar and tafel, or when you're already pretty sure that the flour is ikar. When you know what's ikar and what's tafel, there's no din of chamesh aminim, or maybe even if you say no, anything that contributes any food content, ma'achal or tam is chamesh aminim, is barbini mizonos. But that's only true if it gets mixed into one thing, not if it's two separate layers. Of course, you could always throw in that according to the Ra'ah and the real Ritva and Hilchos Brachos, if it's not a kezayis bechdechilas pras of dagon, then it's not going to get mazonos and schnitzel. Usually not kezayis bechdechilas pras of dagon. You know, even the breading is half it's half eggs, etc. You also throw in the Ursameach, right? You wouldn't want to make schnitzel that's mostly dagon. That would not taste good. There's also and this might be similar to the Rush. There's a Chacham Tzvi. I didn't find them, of course. Simon Kufchav Kess, you could look it up. Shul Chacham Tzvi says, Kol Sheyesbo is only to override Rov. When you have two things and they're both equal, one is Rov, then Kol Sheyesbo is Machria. But if there's a clear Ikar and Tafel, then you don't need the rule of Kol Sheyesbo. If you know what's Ikar, what's Tafel, you don't need the rule of Kol Sheyesbo. That's only if you're using the rule of Rov. You have, if they're qualitatively different, you don't need Kol Sheyesbo. That's only for quantitatively different. And by schnitzel, clearly what the Poskim are saying is this is qualitatively different. Okay, so we have a lot of justifications of our minhag to say shahakal and schnitzel. He doesn't really address like who he's talking about, but maybe he's his own shita. Okay, anyone wants a copy of him? He's here. Chacham Tzvi said, "Test me. I should have given him out." But what's he trying to say? He's trying to say that, I guess he's like, maybe in between here someplace, maybe we'll give him his own. Chacham Tzvi, I'll read it to you, maybe if I can find the money line, so you won't think I'm making it up. He says, again, it's not the simplest way to read the Gemara, but what he says is that, the chamesh amina ain't a betel barov kol shein ban li tein tam abol ban kedei li davik in according to feilu batal ma lasan. They're not batal be rov, but what does he say here? Let me give me a second. Go up a little. In earlier tonight, the pasha dino shel rama mutamut aruch etc. That Rav and Shmuel says that zosi malas chamesh aminim she'ein b'teilim barov al shar aminim kulam b'teilim heim barov. The difference is that it's not batal barov, but that's the only nafkamina. The only nafkamina is when it comes to b'teil barov. That's the only difference between chamesh aminim and everything else. Okay, where to go with that? Maybe it's not 100% clear. You know, he doesn't give a lot of examples. He doesn't talk about schnitzel, etc. Okay, but he does mention that maybe the only nafkamina is when there's rov, which then you can take to say, but when there's like ikar and tafel that's not based on rov, then
then the Chamesh Tamina would not make any Nafkamina. Okay, he doesn't expand that more than... and what he would be saying then is that the Rambam saying there's a rule of Ikra Tafelet and Orthos Brachos. The only unique thing I've seen is when there's no natural rule of Ikra Tafel, there's just a rule of Rove. So he is saying that within, I guess, the Rashba and everyone else. So maybe you could say, even if you say it's any time that it's for Tam or Lisod Es Halev, that's only to override the rule of Rove. It's not, but I admit, reading him again, you know, I'm not sure exactly what he would say about Schnitzel. Okay, maybe we'll leave by now. I'll leave for your homework to look at. I just wanted to point out one thing, especially inspired by this Am Mordechai, which I think is important to ask, which is, what's the... You can spend another year on all the details of exactly the contours of Kol Shi Yesh Bo. What's the yesod of Kol Shi Yesh Bo? Why would Kol Shi Yesh Bo be Borei Minei Mezonos? And here, I will read you the Mishnah Brura from Simon Reish Test that was on the Makor sheet. I lost Simon Reish Test. Zion, Hatam came to Balahat Mahakshar Tavshul Vachisha Mindu Hashivi Huha Iker. Ah, it becomes the Iker because it is Chashuv. And that's what we find in many, many Rishonim. Says the Ra'ah, for example. He says, right on our Sugya, he says, Gufa, Rabba Shmuel, etc. Mishum De'inu Hashivi Iker. Basically, it's a rule of Ikr and Tafel. There are other ways to tell what's Ikr and what's Tafel, like Rove, etc. There's a rule that the Hashivas of Chamesh Taminim makes them Ikr. The Hashivas makes it more of an Ikr, and the Ritva says similarly in Hilchos Brachos, even if it's Tafel, the rest is Ikr. Hari Ki'ilu Hayah Ikr. Okay. It makes it into the Ikr. Clearly, the Rush also uses the phrase that it is the Ikr. The conventional understanding of Kol Shi Yesh Bo Chamesh Taminim is that the Chashivas of Chamesh Taminim makes it the Iker. Okay, what circumstances makes it the Iker? That's what we discussed. Does it only make it the Iker when it's sort of naturally, intuitively, even without the halacha, you would have thought it was the Iker? It's just a Chashivas of Chamesh Taminim, something that you also know about. It's just something physical. Or is it that no, as long as it's for some food purpose, it automatically gets Iker because it has general Chashivas, because of its general importance, both from a religious and from a culinary perspective. In that case, that would lead to the conclusion of the Rashba here. What does the Rashba say? The Rashba says, give me a second. Dov Sha'ikr, which was, who said Dov Sha'ikr? That was Rav Kahana. .. Why? Cave into Sultan Urbo Lakshir Mvorkan all souls, Kedasikna Meha Durav U Shmuel. Why is Dovsha Iker? Dovsha Iker is like what we say from Rav and Shmuel. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda says, sorry. I take that back. That's not the Rashba I meant. That was.
Last time you
Is it not the Rashba on the Makor sheet? There it is. Aval hacha ihu ikar va'aleha mevarchim. Right over here, what's the ikar? The ikar is the kemach. Here, the ikar is the kemach, since for machshir, and you would add matim, machshir, matim, the same thing for here. Va'aleha mevarchim. So maybe it's the ikar, in which case Rav Shmuel are saying the exact same thing as Rav Kahana. Rav Yehuda said, Dufsha ikar. Rav Kahana says, Sulta Iker, and Rav and Shmuel are agreeing with Rav Kahana. However, the Rivav on the side of the Rif is very unclear about this. He's not sure. Is the reason for Rav and Shmuel Kol Shi Yesh Bo because the Sulta Iker, or Smida Iker, or for some other reason? If you look, he changed his mind about this. He starts out saying,
Let me just find it. Chavetz Kedera, etc. Rav Yehuda Amar, etc. Rav Amar Shachal Yivaro, etc. Rav Kahana Amar Barmi Mizonos Kasamar Smida Iker. Nakad Rav Kahana. The Chol Min Tavshel Shei Yafei Shaminim Afei Shei Shpo Tavshel Min Acher Shu Iker Mevarkali Barmi Mizonos. Helza Kvasi Rav Kahana Velo Mitame Da Amar Smida Iker. The Avgav the Dovshe Iker Mevarkali Barmi Mizonos. Okay, fascinating. What's the first thing he says? That really Rav Shmuel or Rav Kahana Velo Mitame. Rav Kahana said the smida is ikar. Rav Shmuel said, no, it's not ikar. The dovsh is ikar. But nonetheless, there's a rule of borei minim zonos. Okay, that is a very, very big chiddush. If you ask, what is the svaras Rav Shmuel? Right, you say, kol sheyesh bo vichuli. So what did the Rashba, this is the mainstream, the Rashba and the Ra'ah, the Ritva says, ilu, right, we'll count that, the Chuli, definitely conventional wisdom, that the Dagon is Iker. Okay, it's a special, it's a rule of Iker and Tafel, it's a special rule within Iker and Tafel, that the Dagon is Iker. Says the Rivav at first, he says no. And then it would be, right, Kir Rav Kahana Umitame. They're possible like Rav Kahana Mitame, that the Smida is Iker. The Rivav says at first, no. It's just a special rule of Borei Minim Zonos. Really, the Dvash is Iker. But even though the Dvash is Iker, we still say Borei Minim Zonos. Okay. Why do we still say Borei Minim Zonos even though the Dvash is Iker? Why not say Shahak only of Faro? He doesn't really explain. No, if we all like the Meiri, then clearly the Smida is Iker. What? We're not up to the last line. Let's continue. Okay, let's continue. So he says, V'hani mi l'ksha osa min l'chei shamin im ur b'tavshel l'tei tam v'olam nosim b'tavshel shar dvar v'shel l'tei tam b'tavshel v'rchel Iker k'ayi dvar m'rin l'kaman and he quotes the Gemara m'daf l'amites. The kasha is far as that's in front of first. Don't get too excited. Then the kasha is far. Later on it says that if you have salty food and eat bread to protect yourself from the salt, you make a bracha on the salty food and you potter the pas. What does it say? The maliach is ikar, the bread is tafel, and you say a bracha on the maliach. He just said, even the dvash is ikar and the smida is tafel, you say a bracha on the smida. So if even the pas, when it's tafel, gets popped with the other bracha, kol shkein, just mizonos, eliyesh lo amar zeh shabar rav shmuel, lamdeinu shekos tafshel or mechamim mechamishalini teitam, betafshel oso menu choshev le'ikar mnei chashivu, so mvarach alam nasum tafshel shar dvarim, shalot teitam, betafshel inu choshev ke'ikar mvarach alam mena achar shehu ha'ikar. He changes his mind, he says, no, real, I'm saying the same as the Ritva, it's chashivas makes it the ikar. So in the end he says, it must be this chashivas makes it the ikar, and therefore it's chashivas only makes it the ikar if it's part of the taste of the food, but if it's maliach and pas, then it's not the ikar. He had a very fascinating hav. So in the end, he retracts. His havmin is very fascinating. I don't know how much to build on a havmina, right? You can't build too much on a havmina. His havmin is that, no, it has nothing to do with ikar and tafel. Even if it's 100 million percent tafel, somehow the dvuke is different than tafel. The dvuke, like, doesn't exist at all. But the dvuke is just a chemical. But even if it is tafel, you still make a bracha on it because... And here, he doesn't really explain, like, why would you say mizonos, even if it is tafel? And before the mizonos would also pater the dvash. He doesn't say. I can speculate, unless someone else wants to speculate. But the havamina of the rivav, right, this is his maskana also, is that, no, the dagon is tafel, the afal pikein mevarech mizonos, meaning kirav kahana ve helpsa kvasid rav kahana velo mitame. That's where I got the phrase kirav kahana velo mitame. Okay, this is very strange. He doesn't explain his svara and he retracts it, so we don't want to spend too much time on it. But maybe somehow he just thinks there's something unique about. It's not a unique about Iker Tafel. So the only option left is something unique. Is that something unique about the relationship between the different ingredients? No, that's regular Iker Tafel. Must be something unique about the bracha. The bracha of Borei Minim Zonos is a very general bracha. After all, mazon really means food, right? We know there's a difference between mazon and kol hazan alai, right? We have that at the beginning of the parak. Kol hazan, zan is everything but mayim melach, while mazon only means the chamesh taminim, according to Rav Shmuel at least, and you know, maybe us, if you're that weird Lashon HaHag that we'll see in a moment. But maybe mazon, which is a general word for food, whenever there are two things, and one of them is mazonos and the other isn't, the mazonos always wins, because sort of like, you know, maybe like Motzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, we'll have to figure out what's Pshat Motzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Is it that Motzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, like everything is toppled to the bread, or is it that it's more of a general bracha on eating a meal? Like the rough things, but we'll get to that, so pretend you didn't hear that. but maybe he just thinks there's something unique about the bracha of mazonos, that whenever you have two things and one of them is mazon, it's always better to make a bracha on mazon and pater everything. We'll actually see, this is not in the Gemara, but the Mishnah Berurah paskens that b'dieved Yosef say mazonos and anything but water and vayim melach, because it's all zan. So maybe somehow the bracha mazonos, which is such a basic food kind of bracha, as opposed to specific bracha, always wins, because, you know, the everything is zan. So maybe it's something unique about the bracha, not unique about the relationship between the wheat and the honey, but unique about the relationship between shahakol and mazonos, that mazonos, we were talking about getting mazon, getting satiated, etc. Once there's some mazon there, which is filling us up and satiating us and giving us nutrition, and everything else is also zan, so we prefer to focus on the aspect of mazon, which is a very, very chashuv shevach, that it actually fills us up and gives us nutrition, it gives us life. Right, because you know the lechem of Enosh Yisad, and this is just a barely second place to that. So maybe there's something unique. I don't know, and I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's wrong. But give me a second. The again, what's the svara? The svara is chashivos. Again, how much that chashivos is just a magical halacha that it's chashav in the eyes of the halacha. So as long as it does something, it counts. Or is it that, no, it really, like the meaning, really should be chashuv to people as well. Here, maybe the svara is that there's something special about birkas mizonos. After all, it's less about, let me add something. Mizonos is a little less about, and here I'm going to be a little tricky because you said kwek hamotzi, a little less about the exact type of food and more about the effect it has on me. Right, that it's something which I get my muzzle from. There's something that the bracha mazonos that maybe should be include all foods as well. And something special about the bracha of mazonos that carries other foods also, especially since all foods are zan. So if this is mazon and that's zan, the same as mazonos, not so crazy. But again, we totally reject him. That is not pshat. The question is there another possibility? Once he inspires us to think that maybe it's just not pashat, ikar, and tafel, is there another possibility which we wouldn't have to reject? Rav Kahana, not exactly mitame in the playing field he was thinking. And this is what Joel was saying to me the other day.
Why can't you say that the Negev and the Rosh are also? That's what they meant.
Give me a second.
That it's a cake is a cake.
Give me a second.
Like a row with a row.
You're not allowed to ask me why I can't say things unless you see whether or not I say them first. Right, so you have to give me a chance to give you. You have to let me produce premises and then ask them. Anyway, this I found. I'm not saying it's popular. I'm not saying it's everyone. But in this safe from Zosa Bracha, who is now my best friend. He's actually Yomi's neighbor and Davos at the shul. He's not. He doesn't know he's my best friend. Only I know he's my best friend because he says what I wanted to say about. Now you know how to become my friend about this bracha. He's medayik at least in the Rambam. He says mazonos is really very different than all other brachos. In what way is mazonos different than the other brachos? The other brachos are about what type of material it is. Right? Ha'etz is something that comes from a tree, and shahakol is something that doesn't come from a plant, and hadama is something that comes from a plant that is not a tree. And even hagafen, which is not about anything that comes from the grapevine, but is something that comes from a vine. Mezonos, or maybe it's even more parallel to a guffin. Mezonos is interesting, and this is what we'll see in the next shiur. Mezonos is interesting is that it's not a bracha on grain. Mezonos is not a bracha on grain. After all, lam zayin amin aleph, we read this already once, koseis esachita, the bracha is hadama. Koseis achita is hadama, and to the best of my knowledge, everyone agrees. Okay, we'll have to see what's the relation between that and koseis achita. We discussed it once already, over in the beginning of the year, that let's say you eat chloyos, toasted grains, or dogon shalok shaling, the Rambam talks about, right? Whole boiled grains. It's not mezonos, it's hadama, right? Mezonos is not the bracha on grains. What is mezonos the bracha on? What? On, I don't know if it's on being, but it's on a certain type of muzzle dish made from grains, right?
On bread and grain.
Exactly. As, for example, now it's also on some sort of bread called pasab avakistin, but we'll leave that for now. It says the brisa on lamazayin and aleph, eloin maisa kadera. Right? It's on maisa kadera. What does maisa kadera mean? It doesn't mean that if you cook it in a pot. It means I don't have good English words for this, but it means a certain kind of satiating, you know, staple dish that you make from grains, right? If I pop some toasted grains, which was what they had instead of bisley in the old days, that is not muzzle, even though it's grain. Meaning the bracha of mezonos, what I'm claiming is not a bracha for grains. It is a bracha for a product called a sort of staple satiating product. There's probably some word for it in Old English or something. I don't know when they used to care about having food to eat and not about having too much food. You know, the problem wasn't too much food to eat. The problem was good, nutritious food to eat. There's probably a word for it. If someone wants to help me out, then I'd be very grateful. In any case, if the point is that mezonos is the bracha on, if the point is that mezonos is the bracha on, not on grains, it's not as if I'm mixing apples and oranges or honey and, you know, and date, you know, or bee honey and date and dates, etc. No. The question is, am I coming out with a mezonos, or am I just coming out with a product of grain or anything else? Mezonos is about the quality of the product as mezon, not about the ingredients, not about the origin of the product. Now, for example, we know we'll have a big machlokas. How about orez? How about dochan? What do you say mezonos on, etc.? You know, it's not necessarily about being a certain kosher species, perhaps. It's about, I mean, depending on who you ask, we'll see. It's about, it's about being a muzzled product. And this could cut in two directions. Here I'll go a little out of order. If you'll allow me to go a little out of order. No, I won't go out of order. We'll stick in order. If this could cut in two directions, number one, you could say, you know why Kol She'eshba Mechamech Saminim, you say Borim Minim Zonos? Not because of Iker and Tafel. It's not a prat of Iker and Tafel that the Chamesh Shaminim were always Iker and everything else always Tafel. No, it's a Hagdara of Muzon. A Tavsho made with Chamesh Shaminim and other things is Muzon. Not because of Iker and Tafel. I mean, it's not that the bracha is on the Dagon. And the Dagon is Iker, so that bracha works for everything. The bracha is on a Cheftashal Muzon. And anything with wheat, anything with grain rather, becomes a chefta shel muzzle, because the wheat is so, the grain is so nutritious and so satiating that even when you mix it with other things, it is still a chefta shel muzzle. So perhaps what I'm claiming is that halacha is like Rav Kahana, not exactly mitame, closer to the. Okay, this is the Sefer Zos HaBracha. I'll quote who I have. He says it in the Das HaRambam. He's not claiming everyone agrees to this. He's not necessarily claiming that the Mishnah Berurah agrees to this. But maybe pshat is that it's all about a Cheftza Shel Mazon. It's not about the Dagon. It's not about whether the Tzmida is Iker or the, and here it also be Kirav Kahana Velomitame. Kirav Kahana the lo mitame. We're not trying to figure out what's Iker and what's Tafel. We're trying to figure out what's a Cheftza Shel Mazon. The answer is we might not have known this on our own. Anything that has chamish saminim is a chefter shel mazon, and it's not that the mazonos is the ikker. It's that it's all mazonos, because mazonos is not about being grain. Mazonos is about being a staple substitute meal. Not a meal as much as bread, but it's also a meal, right? Porridge is a substitute meal for bread, right? In time of the Gemara, they made fun of you if you eat porridge and bread at the same meal, right? The Gemara
Nama the Nama.
Exactly. Right? In Gemara Beit, they call porridge Nama. Yeah, obviously, it's not bread. You don't say Hamotzi Lechem and Amaretz, but it's not as versatile. It's maybe not as filling. It's clearly not as useful as bread. Maybe it's not even as nutritious as bread. You know, all the different ways you prepare it change the chemical properties of the various nutrients. But it is a kind of bread. Now, what if you mix, you know, bread with other ingredients and you make a porridge out of it? The answer is, it's still a porridge. And mazonos is the bracha on a porridge, not the bracha on wheat. And therefore, neither one is ikker. It turns into a new chefza called mazon, and you don't need to ask which one is ikker, right? It's a chefza shal mazon or maisa kedera, right? That's the emphasis of Elohim maisa kedera. What is a maisa kedera? And if so, then you don't need to say anything about ikker and tafel. Then we're not talking about ikker and tafel. We're talking about defining a chefza shal mazon. Give me a second. It is something special because mazonos. Birkas mazonos is not on grain, but on maisa kedera. And what is a maisa kedera? Obviously, we don't mean anything you make in a kedera. Meaning, we're saying a chefza shel mazon. And I'll just point out the other side of it, and then I'll take questions. Let's read another three lines of the Gemara. Few lines of the Gemara. Gufa. Rav Shmuel Dabar Tarvayu. Three lines from the end of the base. Kol Shehu Mechamishamin Vorchel Aboyin Mizonos. Ve'emar Nam. Rav Shmuel Dabar Tarvayu. Kol Shehu Mechamishamin Vorchel Aboyin Mizonos. Right? They say two things. Anything that is Chamishaminim and 100% Chamishaminim, you say Boyin Mizonos. And anything that has Chamishaminim mixed with other things, you say Boyin Mizonos. Why didn't they say both? Betricha. The Ishmin and Kol Shehu Avminim Shem the Isav Eini. Well, the Rivas Lo Kamashbo. And that's easy. In the pshat, they need to say yeshbo, because kalshu just means pure porridge is mazonos. How do we know even if it's mostly honey or oil or whatever? That you need kalshi yeshbo. So, but why not just say kalshi yeshbo, and then you'll say kalshi again, kalshi hu, something that's entirely chamishaminim? No, v'yeshbo and kalshi yeshbo, avamina kalshi yeshbo, chamishaminim, in aval orz v'dochan lo, misham dalide tarobos, aval isi v'enei neima afilo orz v'dochan, ami v'rach alo v'rach mizonos, kamash v'al kalshi mi chamishaminim, v'rach alo v'rach mizonos, afugi orz v'dochan, da afilo isi v'enei lo v'rach in v'rach mine mizonos, etc. That Rav and Shmuel are coming to you as two things. Their words are the special than Chamisha Minem, and the diuk of their words to exclude Minem 6 and 7, Orez and Dochan. Orez and Dochan, of course, the bigger Kiddush of saying Mazonos on the fine Minem is Kol Sheishbo. The bigger Kiddush of not saying Mazonos on Orez and Dochan is Kol Shehu. Not only on Tarovis of Orez and Dochan, don't you say Mazonos, even on Orez and Dochan, pure rice pudding and pure, you know, Dochan, whatever Orez and Dochan are, we're not even sure. You still don't say Bar Minim Zonos. Okay, there's a whole Gemara here. We'll read it in a second. But what's the upshot of the Gemara? Do we paskin like Rav Shmuel in terms of saying Mazonos on the five Minim? Yes. Do we paskin like them about not saying Mazonos on Orez? On
no.
Okay. No, but. But the Zimtin Kol Sheishbo and Kol Shehu. On Orez, we still say, Borei name is Onos, but on Tarovis of Orez, we do not. Meaning we're mafrich them by Orez be'en. We're never mafrich them by Tarovis of Orez, and that's why all poskim paskin, that on a Tarovis of Orez, even though all poskim except for one paskin, on an Orez you say Mazonos, on a Tarovis of Orez you don't say Mazonos, you say the bracha of whatever is the rov, that's the Shulchan Aruch paskins. All right, I take that back. What's the din of a taroves of, give me a second, of a, sorry, taroves of Orez. So when it comes to a taroves of Orez, the Rif says, on anything that is a taroves of Orez, what does he say? Taroves, lo. On taroves, you don't say Mazonos on taroves of Orez. Says the Rambam, what does the Rambam say about Orez? He says,
Orez, etc. is borrowed from Mazonos. Actually, more of Navarachal or is Levado. Only if it's Orez Levado. If it's Taroves, then you do not say Mazonos. That's what everyone says. The question is, everyone agrees. Again, everyone except for like weird people who have to take into account here. Tavshel Orez is Mazonos. Taroves Orez is not Mazonos. What it is, I don't know. That depends what the other ingredients are. Right? What do we mean by Taroves of Orez is not Mazonos? Right? So what does the Rush say? The Rush says it doesn't mean Taroves of Orez is not Mazonos. It means Taroves of Orez is not special. But you go by the rule. Taroves says 80% Orez and 20% is 20% honey. Of course you say Mazonos. If it's 30% Orez and 70% other ingredients, then you would say Shahakol or whatever. That's the Rush is right here in the Rif. The Rush says, obviously, you go by the Rov, and the Kesef Mishnah quotes that Rif, quotes that Rush, who's interpreting the Rif on the side of the Rambam. Sounds like, what if it's Rov Orez? Then what bracha do you say? So, says the Rush, the Das Harif says the Kesef Mishnah. L'chori, you think this Kesef Mishnah is talking about the Das HaRambam. That's certainly what it sounds like when you read the Kesef Mishnah. Says the Mechaber, you go by the Rov. That's what the Mechaber says when it comes to Orez and Siv Zayin. I'll explain af b'das haramba why I mean that in a second. However, what does the sefer mechtam here say? Sefer one of the chachamim of Nilder before the Meiri, he says, no. Masha'ain came by Orish Ain Varchlan Borim name Zonos, Elicha Tafshal Kulumi Orz. Well, Tarov is a Filohoyo or is Iker Ain Varchlan Borim name Zonos. Even if the Orz are the Rov or the Iker, you still don't say Mazonos. And that's what he says, Bidas Harif Veha Rambam. Right? The Sefer HaMiktam. Harif Veha Rambam says, oh, I remember what they say. Mazonos, or do we say no? It's not Mazonos, even if it's the Rov. That's the Sefer HaMichtav quotes the Rif in the Rambam. And what does Beis Yosef say? The Beis Yosef says, you know what? The Rif might mean like the Rush, but the Rambam, right? What does the Rambam say? What's the lashon in the Rambam? Levado. Has the Orez Levado. What does that sound like? What if it's 20% something else? Then it wouldn't be Mazonos. And therefore, the Beis Yosef, Midas HaRambam, says that it's not Mazonos. Why? Because the Rambam says Levado. Now, just to be fair, in the Kesef Mishnah, even though the Rambam said Levado, he thought he meant Levado means Rov. And in the Mechaber, he agrees with the Kesef Mishnah. It's Mechaber and Kesef Mishnah against Beis Yosef. Because what's the lesson of Mechaber? Ella or is Levado, etc. But if there's something else in the Rove, then it's not Mazonos. Clearly, he thinks Levado means Rove, as Dochuk as that is. But what am I claiming? That the Sefer HaMichtam understands the Rif and the Rambam say any Taroves with Orez and something else is not Mazonos. Against the normal rule of Iker V'Tafel. Beis Yosef like that from the Rambam, because the Rambam says Orez Levado. Now, again, you say Vavadil, so where do you draw the line? What if you put in pepper? I don't know. You'll have to draw the line someplace, but it's Levado. It means at the very least substantially 100%. The question is, what's the Svara? Here the Svara is Pashut. It doesn't have a special rule, right? What's the Svara for the Rush? Pashut. There's just no special rule. If there's no special rule, then you go by Ikra and Tafel, by the Rove. But what's the Svara for the Rambam, who says Levado, if Beis Yosef is right that he meant it, and Sefer HaMichtam is right that he meant it? What's the Svara for the Rambam if he really meant only Orez Levado? After all, what happened to the normal rule? So I think the only answer to the Rambam is, this also says the Sefer Zosef Bracha, everything I said I found, I would have said it without, but I'm much happier to just quote the Sefer Zosef Bracha.
right? Tov Mashnayim and Echad. He says, no, if mezonos would be the bracha on a certain species, then this would, the Rambam and the Sefer Mechtam would make no sense. The Yosef and the Sefer Mechtam would make no sense. What do you mean? If most of this, most of it is rice, it gets the bracha of rice. Same as if it's half dates and half tomatoes, or half half wine and half beer, or half honey and half figs. So you go by whichever is the rule, whichever is the ikker. That would be true if mezonos was a bracha on six species, five species and rice. You know, but mezonos is not a bracha on certain species. Mezonos is a bracha on a certain product called a muzzle. And here's where the difference in rice and everything else. The other chamish aminim are so soed and zon and masbia that even if they're with other things, it's still a muzzle. Orez is so borderline. It's borderline. It's a little zon and soed is halev. But it's so weak that even if it's with other things, wheat is so strong, it's so soed that even if it's 30% and you have 70% something else, it's still a muzzle. Orez is so weak that if it's 100%, it barely, it's borderline, it's considered a muzzle. But if it's 70%, there's 30% other things, that's not a muzzle anymore. Because orez is not strong enough to call something a muzzle unless it's purely orez. But if it's a mixture of orez and other things, even if the orez is a rove, if it's not orez levado, it's not called a muzzle. I think the only svar is that mezonos is not the bracha on rice and grain. No, by grain, rice also grain. I mean, but on a chefza shel mazon, on a chefza shel mazon, and you know what? A chefza shel mazon depends on whether it's really good for lishon haleif, right? Whether it's something which is for su'uda and for mazon and for svia, etc. And the answer is, and therefore, the other grains are so good that even if they're only 30%, it's still a mazon. And orez is so borderline that if it's 100%, it's a mazon. But if it's 70%, it's not a mazon anymore because it has more other it has more other properties than properities of svia.
Mar itself talks about pasar is presumably that's not 100% rice.
Sure it is. You mix rice and water and make it. That's 100%. Why not? I mean, you ever eat pas of chita? And not be spoiled? Like chita? Or challah that Sephardim eat on Shabbos? You ever go to Sephardi's house? It's called water challah. Right? That's what they used to eat. Our egg challah is what they used to call cake. Right? If you, our egg challah is cake. You ask any dietitian, they'll tell you, the challah, the Ashkenazim eat, that's cake. That's not bread. Bread is flour and water. And flour and water is only flour. The water clearly doesn't count. maybe nowadays we put in a little yeast or something. Okay, but that's also, that's not really an ingredient. Anyway, Kitzer, what I'm claiming is if you accept this Kiddush, that mezonos is not a bracha on certain species. And mezonos never used the rule of Ikar v'Tafel. What did the Rama mean? The Rama meant, he takes tangent, says, when there's Ikar and Tafel, that's different than the rule of Kol Sheyishbo. You should know, when there's Ikar and Tafel, we don't use the rule of Kol Sheyishbo. The rule of Kol Sheyishbo is we're not dealing with Ikar and Tafel, we're just dealing with foods. And what is it? It's not another kind of Ikar and Tafel. The rule of Kol Sheyishbo is defining a Chefza Shel Mazon. And even if it's 100% wheat, it might or may not be a Chefza Shel Mazon. Depends how you cook it. Do you split it in half? Do you not split it in half, right? Even if it has wheat, it might not be a Chefza Shel Mazon, depending on how you exactly cook it and prepare it. Not everything from wheat is mazon. It has to be prepared in a way that is good for having a main satiating meal, not in a way that's good for a snack. And therefore, it cuts both ways. There's no ikar, it's not about ikar and tafel, and that if you're talking about orez, you don't use ikar and tafel. Whenever you mix things, it's not muzzle. And if you're talking about chamish shemine dagon, you also don't use ikar and tafel. Whenever you mix things, it is muzzle. And those are two sides of the same coin. For the Rambam, the Rambam holds not about ikar and tafel. It's just everything's a muzzle if it has chamish shemine dagon. And everything's not a mazon if it's a mixture of something else and rice, because it's about whether it comes out as a staple food or not a staple food. Rice mixed with other things all of a sudden becomes a snack. And not a staple food becomes a treat, let's say, not a staple food, while chamesh min hadagim mixed with everything becomes like a staple food and not a treat. And that's a different way of looking at things. And I'll just point out that would change some of the nachminas. Meaning, for sure, you would say, in this case, like the amortified. When do you say it becomes a muzzle? When it's all mushed together, mixed together into one thing. There's two different layers. That's not defining a muzzle. Each layer either is a muzzle or isn't a muzzle. And that might affect. And then Joel's saying you could go back and and you would ask, maybe that's what the Meiri meant. Maybe that's the Rosh, or at the very least, maybe that's the Meiri meant. Yes, if it's one muzzle, not me din Iker and Tafel, but me din a Chefter Shal muzzle. You really, you can understand a lot of the sheets of the Rishonim based on defining Chefter Shal muzzle and not Iker and Tafel. But I think for sure one thing would come out is that you would say that's only if it's a mixture. If it's mixed together into one thing, then it becomes a Chefter Shal muzzle. If you have a coating on something else, then you're not going to talk about it's two separate heftas. You'd use the rules of Iker V'Tafel, but you wouldn't call it one hefta shel mazel. It's only one hefta if it gets mixed together, and that would definitely be another way to support shakel and schnitzel. You're not going to say it's a hefta shel mazel because there's an inside layer and an outside layer, and those are two different heftas. And what do you do if they're two different heftas? You use the rule of Iker V'Tafel. When it comes to Iker V'Tafel, there's nothing special about Kol She'eshbo. You just use the rule of Iker and Tafel.
How would we understand if
how do we understand Lidvuke Yalva? Lidvuke makes it not a Chefter Shal Mazon. Exactly, by the way, it works very nicely with Tosos. That's all about it. So it is a lathe, right? Works very nicely with Tosos, with the Avni Nezer. How do we say the Ram? Lidvuke is Mafkiya and the Chefter Shal Mazon. Whenever it's being used for Lidvuke, then it's not being used for food at all. But it's not being used for food at all. That's mafkia, the chefta shell muzzle. Okay, I'll just point out, but I don't want to get into this now. We'll come back to it, Blin Eder, that could it be that, and here I'm going a little bit out on a limb, could it be that there are even perhaps tzvei dinim in types of kol she'eshbo, that sometimes it's a din of ikar and tafel, and sometimes it is a din of really turning into a chefta shell muzzle. That might have to do with the dinim, the achronim. How about the shear for bracha achrona? Do you say it all counts as mezonos for bracha achrona, or no? You count the mezonos, and you don't count the and you don't count the other things. Okay, you have to be ma'ayin very much in the. I'm not sure that the mainstream sheet that we have in our post can really lean towards that, so I'll just point it out as something to be ma'ayin. I mean, but one could certainly say that. If you view it as a chefta shel mazon, then it should all count as a kizayis bracha achrona. It's one big chefta. If you view it as normal ikar and tafel, then ikar is poked in the tafel. But for bracha achrona, you still need to eat a kizayis of the ikar. Okay, the different shitas, maybe we will come back to. What?
In order to be bracha achrona,
correct. And even midrash bottom, it has to be a chef, but maybe it is all must be. It combines to become something. Okay, maybe we'll leave that for now because we didn't even start today's shir yet. So I want to at least start. One question? Maybe I won't start today's shir. I will start today's shir. Okay, we should at least start the shir every day, even if we don't finish it. The Gemara here brought up, the main sugya here, is about oras and dochan, right? Oras and Dochan. What are Oras and Dochan, by the way? How many sheets are there? What are Oras and Dochan? Two? Three? Boy, someone's very cheap here. What does Rashi say? Really? Your Rashi? What is your? My Rashi. Oras is Oras mill. Mill is millet, right? French mill, English millet. It's a crop that's not exactly right. It's kind of grain crop. Nowadays, they mostly feed it to animals. And dochan is panis. Right? What is panis? It is something very close to millet. Right? The genus, right? That's one of the species. The genus of millet is panike. Right? And then the millet is just the most, one of the species within that genus. There's such thing as panic grass, which is clearly not Russian men. It's indigenous to the New World, but it's also something that's some cousin of millet that they feed to animals and nothing to do with being afraid in the Midwest, etc. So it's millet and something similar to millet. It's not clear exactly what species he meant. Tosfos says, Yesh Mefarshim Rizo Well, the high parish as far as the dochan hainu mil. Sometimes they know oriz is rice, riso, rice. and then if oriz is rice, then dochan is obviously millet. Even though there's no, I mean, oriz, riso, or, truth is in almost all languages that I know of, the word for rice is the same. You know, whether it's orez or similar in Arabic and other Semitic languages, or rizo, rice in European languages, etc., it's all the same word. Dochan has nothing to do with the word millet, but an hayomazem, millet in Arabic is dochan. They're so called that. Okay, that's Tosos. There's a strange sheet of the Maril. I'm not sure where he got it from. He says, Omer Mari Siegel, orez is hirzen and dochan is rice. Here's in his millet in German slash Yiddish, right? He says, Pumpfa carrot of Tosos, and he says, and don't think that Orz is rice because they have the same letters, which is usually a good way to try and speculate what words mean. Halacha l'maisa, we have three shitas. What is Orz and what is Dokan? We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. I just want to point out Orz and Dokan. Rashi says, millet. And something similar to millet. I'm not sure. I don't know if anyone's sure exactly what he means. Tosos, I mean, probably someone is, says...
It's foxtail millet.
Foxtail millet. Okay, a different kind of millet. Right? Fine. A type of millet. Right? They're different species, I think. Foxtail millet. Okay, great. And the Maharil, strangely, I'm not sure where he came up with this, says millet and rice. What do we do? Halacha l'maisa, the Magen Avraham said, well, now we never know what's rice, what's millet, and we pass in rice mazonos, and millet is shahakol slash hadama. So therefore, you should always eat it in a meal or always say shahakol just to be on the safe side, because we're besuffic. But the Lechem Chunos from the Rosh says, no, the minute all is very clear that my tosos and we're not choshesh. Mishabur said the same thing. Maybe it should be makir, because everything's suffic or is. Or, but the minute Olam said Oriz is rice, the Aruch HaShavan says, Oriz is rice says, they used to be Masufik, but now we found out that Pasher Tosus is correct and there's no Sufik B'davar. I don't know what historical information he had access to, but he's right. Nowadays, it's very clear to all historians that Tosus is right, so even though the Magen Avraham is at first Masufik, the Mishnah Berurah is at first Masufik, even the Magen Avraham and the Mishabur says, and the Minhag HaOlam is like Tosos, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, nowadays we have scientific proofs or historical proofs that Tosos is correct, and therefore Tosos is for sure correct. Let's just figure out then how we paskin about Orez and Dochan, although I don't know if we'll be able to get to the Lumdus. What does the Gemara say? I don't know if we'll be able to get very far, but what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, we had Rav and Shmuel. Remember, Rav and Shmuel excluded Orz and Dochan Legamri, both from Kol Sheyeshbo and from Kol Shehu, whether it's Tarovis or whether it is Be'en. But we say, really? V'Orez, interesting Girsa problem here, right?
Yes.
V'Orez, Lom Varchan Varim Zonos, or V'Orez V'Dochan, Lom Varchan Varim Zonos. Right? These two Girsaos are clearly the big machlokas we shown in, meaning, are we accepting Rav and Shmuel about Dochan? Dochan, you win. That's not mazonos. We're only arguing about Orez, or are we arguing about Orez and Dochan? That is the famous machlokes to be shown in between the Rif and the Rambam, for example, who say, we're only arguing about Orez. Dochan is already dead. Versus the Russian Rinyon, who says, what do you mean? Orez and Dochan are equal. They are partners that will never be separated. And that's, you know, the Gears in this Gemara, probably. Whoever wrote over this Gemara, you know, wrote over following a certain Shita. Vatanya, what's the Kasha? Vatanya, he feel the fun of Pas Orz Pas Dochan. Mevarchla Tchila Basof, right? The first Kasha is equating Orz and Dochan. Clearly, at this point in the Gemara, we are saying Orz and Dochan. Kemaisa Kedera. Don't we say beginning and end like porridge, Maisa Kedera? We got Maisa Kedera Tanya, but Tchila Varchla Borman Imzonos, Varchla Brachach Mein Shalosh. So doesn't that prove that it's Mizonos against Rabbi Shmuel? No, Kamaisa Gedera, Velo Kamaisa Gedera. It's like Maisa Gedera, but not totally Kamaisa Gedera. Kamaisa Gedera and Baruch HaLeh Tchila Basof. Velo Kamaisa Gedera, De'ilo Maisa Gedera, V'tchila Borim Nimzonos, Sof Baruch HaAchs Mein Shalosh, V'ilu Hacha, V'tchila Baruch HaShach Le'yivar, V'sof Borim Nefashos Rabbi Sechaz Ronon, Al Kalma Sheh Vara. So basically our first question is, what about Orz V'Dochan? And the answer is no, just come and there that you make a bracha beforehand and a bracha afterwards. Now, there's only one girsa here because now we're only asking about Orez, right?
clearly, until now we're asking about Orez and Dochan, forgetting about the Yersa. But now we're asking only about Orez. We say, Orez la Maisa Kedera. Orez is not a Maisa Kedera. Vatanya Elohim Maisa Kedera, Chilka, Targa, Sola, Zorz, Va'arsan, Orez. Right? This is Maisa Kedera. If you have a grain split in two that you cook, or split in three, or flour that you cook, or Rashi doesn't mean split in four or five that you cook, or Orez. So don't we see that Orez is Maisa Kedera, which would make it Boru name is Onos. Amanu Yochanan Nuri he Detanya Yochanan Nuri Amar Orez Ben Dagan Who Bechayven Chumutzei Kares Adam Yotzo Yidei Chavasa VePesach Aval Arbanan Lo. That's only Yochanan Nuri. Yochanan Nuri holds there are six grains for all purposes. You even Yotzei Matzah with rice matzah, and it's even a Chiyav Kares of Chametz for eating rice Chametz. So of course, Yochanan Nuri thinks that Orez is equivalent to the grains, but where the Rabbanan within the Rabbanan, not only is it not equivalent for Pesach. It's also not a Maisa Kedera for the purposes of Bore Mine Mezonos. Of Rabbanan Lo, Batanya Kosta Chitam Verchlo Bore Priyadama. If you eat a chew, literally means to chew, you chew a whole chita, you say adama, but tachana afa ubishlai, if you grind it baking to bread, but then you cook the bread into a dish, bizman shaprus kayamos b'chilim v'archal ha-mosei lechem an-arit v'sof v'archal ha-gimol brachos, me'ina prus kayamos b'chilim v'archal ha-borinu v'zons v'sof v'archal ha-bracha achas me'in shalosh, right? If the pieces of bread are still intact, you wash and bench, even though you cooked it subsequently, but if the pieces of bread are no longer intact, then it turns into mizonos. Hakosa orez, what if you chew a whole piece of orez? Merchala bari priyadama. Tachna vafog bishlo, you grind the bacon into bread and cook it. Afisha pruskayamas, betchilim merchala bari minim zonos, vab merchala bari chasmein shalosh. Even if the piece of bread are still intact, you only say mizonos bari nefashos. Mani. Ilam or Yochanan Nuri, he, damer orez ben dagan, who almost yadachim in our earth, shalosh brachos bari bruchay. If there's a Yochanan Nuri who equates orez legame with the other five, makes six pieces of dagan, then it should be hamotzi, as long as the pieces are intact, and shalosh brachos bari chasmein. A lot of Rabbanan, so this must be the Rabbanan. And even according to the Rabbanan, it's not bread, but it is Mizonos. But Tiyuvta, Rabbi Shmuel, Tiyuvta, this Tiyuvta, Rabbi Shmuel, and almost everyone's gear set has the word Tiyuvta, is a Tiyuvta of Rav and Shmuel. And that's why almost everyone paskins that you say Mizonos on rice. Because of this Tiyuvta. There's a tiny bit of Machlokas Rishonim here. The Rashba quotes the... A Lashon Halachas Gedolos. Again, many of you showed him quote a version of Halachas Gedolos, our printed Halachas Gedolos. And the Rash quotes Lashon Halachas Gedolos, and the Rashba quotes Rav Haigon, quoting Rav Yudai Golan, who is often credited with Halachas Gedolos, who say that this is not a real Tiyuvta, because we paskin like Rav Shmuel. How do we know we paskin like Rav Shmuel? Before this, we paskin like Rav Shmuel, right? By Chavitza de Tamra, Chavitz Kedera and Daisa. And right after this, we read it already, by Riyata de Chakloi, we paskin like Rav Shmuel. So how can here we think we disprove Rav Shmuel, but we know we paskin like Rav Shmuel. And therefore, rice is shahakol, meaning rice is hadama if you cook whole pieces of rice, but shahakol if you make bread out of it, and the pieces of rice are not intact. So what is the Psak Halacha? Gavit Orez. The Rav Haigon and a Lashon of the Bahag says it's not Mizonos. Why? Because we paskin like Rav Shmuel. So even though the Gemara here says Tiyuvta, it can't be because we paskin like them. What do the Tiyuvta they don't say? What does all the Rishonim, what do all the Rishonim paskin? They say it's Mizonos. How can we pass like Rav and Shmuel? How can we have two of the Rav and Shmuel if we pass like Rav and Shmuel? Very simply. The answer is, this is a shock question.
I mean,
what?
They're taking part.
There's a difference between the words of Rav and Shmuel and the diak of Rav and Shmuel, right? The Gabe, the actual words, kol she yesh bo mechameshes haminim, the guf of kol she yesh bo mechamesh haminim, taimelon karavu shmuel. That is what we said by Chavetz Keder and Daisim Rita Chagoy. But Lagavi, the diok of chameshes haminim, the lo orez, then it's a tiyuvta to Rav Shmuel. After all, Rav Shmuel said two different things. Why do they have to go together? They said any taroves is mizonos if it has some
Chayshim Minim in it. It also says 5 Minim and not 6 Minim and not 7 Minim. We agree with the guf of their words, but we tee up to the diuk from their words to exclude Orez, and that's what all the Rishonim hold. They also hold, we only tee up to them about Kol Sheyeshbo, about Kol Shehu, and not about, Kol Shehu. We only tee up to them about Kol Shehu, not about Kol Sheyeshbo, but which what all the Rishonim say. You don't have to say this from the Gemara, but I don't know of any Rishonim who argue that. They also say that it's only the diuk, right, that we have here. No, we had somewhere. We had here before I erased it, right? That only the diuk from Kol Shehu was itosav, but the diuk from Kol Sheyeshbo was not itosav, was not disproven, which is why all the Rishonim say, I'd be curious if someone otherwise had noticed anyone said otherwise, that a tarovus of Orez, you don't think it's Orez, the only machlokas is, what if it's Rov Orez, is it because of a chefta of Mazon, and even Rov Orez, like the Rambam sounds, and Sefer Mechtam, is not Mazonos, or is it that you just go by the regular rules of Iker and Tafel? Okay, we'll have to stop here. We have a little more, not really a lot. But I want to continue with next time is the Inyan of Kos Sachita, Tosfos Maskil Kos Sachita, who discusses the Bracha Achrona Kos Sachita. I want to talk about that as well, but first I want to talk about just the etzem din Kos Sachita, the difference in Kos Sachita and Maisa Kedera. I want to start with if you want to know what to start with after that Tosfos, I'll just, you don't have to stay. If you're already behind, you don't have to stay, but if you are caught up on the Makoros and you want to know what to start with, tell it, email it out. What's the definition of Koseis? You want Rashi, Beitza, Chavav, Amad Beis. You want the Rilum Nil right here, and the Meiri right here, just the beginning of his discussion of Koseis. You want the Rambam Gimel Beis and the Bir Halacha on Reish Beis, Yud Beis, Dibur HaMaschel, V'im Ein Derech. We saw that once before, Volchazaret. Okay, there's a little more, you won't put it now. And in terms of what is the line between Koseis and Maisa Kedera, how do you know what's Maisa Kedera and what's just the equivalent of Koseis? We want the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush from Daf 14 that we already saw. We want the Beis Yosef, Simon Reish Ches, where correspondences of Zion, the new ones have Sif numbers. Dibra Maskel, Umi Kol, Mako Nira, until Ke'ilu Koseis Osam Chayim, and the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Ches, Se'if Zayin, and that will be enough to start on, and I'll give more Makoros to Mirtz Hashem. I'll send them out later. Okay, so we'll pick up with finishing up Orez and Dochan, really trying to figure out the svaras of why Orez and Dochan should each be in the in-between place they find themselves. Just one thing, and then everyone can ask me questions for the rest of their lives. but fascinating question, really, when it comes to the Orez and Dochan first, look at the Ben Ishchai, Shana Aleph, Pinchas Se'if Yud Ches, he brings a machlokas, and think about what's the yesod of that machlokas. He brings a fascinating machlokas. If you eat rice and, rice and pasta, should you say alamechia or alamechia and bordefashas? Think about what that machlokas depends on. And have your theory ready next time we get together. very, very fascinating machlokas. And we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem next time.
Okay. Recording stopped.
Now everyone can argue with me.